Welcome, Joel, to Critical Clicks! Euro Clicks! Hear my greatness!
That there's nothing I can do to save you.
Euro Clicks!
Give it up for Joel's host,
PJ Bolan.
And Scott Cram Company Crampton!
Hey guys, this is PJ, the Kilted Clicksman Bolan, and here's my partner.
Hey, I'm Scott Cram Company Crampton. Welcome to Critical Clicks, an adult podcast for the competitive HeroClix player. We put the hard R rating in HeroClix.
Why are you a pirate?
Because after this many seasons, I haven't done that yet. So actually, I think I have. I think we might have done Talk Like a Pirate Day now that I think about it. Nothing is new, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. I can't think of anything original. All right. So the world has been torn asunder after WizKids not saying a goddamn thing for about 17 years. Now they're telling us shit left and fucking right. Yep. We have more stuff from the Disney thing that we haven't reviewed. So we can do some of that. We have tarot cards to talk about. We have your questions to talk about. We have so goddamn much. We have major tournaments coming up. There is a million tournaments for Silver Age coming up in like literally a week or two. People have no idea what to play for Silver Age, or at least I sure as hell don't. I think the problem is, it's not that you have no idea. The problem is there's a million fucking ideas. And everything has a, but this could happen. And you, suddenly your team is a big pile of shit. I love Thanos, but Beast could be called in. And then your team's a big pile of shit. Green Arrow basically makes everybody's team a big pile of shit, except for Bizarro Green Arrow. And then there's 100 things that make Bizarro Green Arrow terrible. So everything loses and everything wins. It's such a goddamn crapshoot. We'll talk a little bit about that too. And the Scott Porter events coming up and the Kilted Classic. Ah, HeroClix Mania.
Woo!
Yeah. We should also say woo because these are all things. All right, let's start with this. Let's start with tarot cards because we got tarot cards previewed, although nobody can find the original previews of those tarot cards that they did. And they just announced like hours ago a bunch of stuff about how competitive play done in a very well-written article by WizKids that seems to be written by somebody who vaguely knows what HeroClix is, which is a big win. I'm assuming it's going to be Penny Kenya. I'll just assume that that's always a safe bet. That Penny Kenya, one of my favorite people in HeroClix. I've said it before and I'll say it again. So what I had feared was going to be true is true, which is tarot cards is going to be in Worlds.
Yep.
Which is very, very different. Tarot cards are very different. So, PJ, do you want to do a speed through of how tarot cards work? Because I think you'd do be the best to do a speed through of that.
Sure. So you get a 5 to 12 card deck that you build. You have to have one of each suit and one major arcana. It looks like each suit is tied to a power set. Pentacles being speed, swords being attack, cups being defense, and wands being damage. And then the major arcana are more blanket.
Yep.
Then on
deck your deck could be 72 cards because there is 72 cards.
There can only be 12. There's a max.
There's a max amount of cards you could have.
Yeah, it says 5 to 12 cards.
Okay, so deck max could be 12. There are 72 total cards. We don't know distribution yet, essentially, right?
Right. I'm hoping they're one per booster. Plus, like the ones they're giving away for participation and stuff.
One per booster would make this very significantly more attainable. I like anything that makes the value of a booster a lot more because
that's what I just said on one of those posts. You know, that if there was one per booster, then yeah, that brings up the value of every booster.
Yes. But if they're like something like one or two per case, then these are insanely expensive, essentially.
I think the lowest distribution I would be okay with is like 5 per brick. So like one every other booster.
Okay.
Well,
I think I would be okay with that, but I would much just prefer one per booster.
That being said, boosters are $16. Boosters are $17, right?
Yeah.
Let's assume 60 of them are not giveaways. Is that a fair assumption, you think?
I feel like that number is out there, but yeah, we can go with that. That sounds about right.
Okay. So that would be basically, if the distribution was, did I do that right? I couldn't have done the right. 16 times 10 times 6. That'd be about $1,000, if everything was perfect, if like you got the perfect distribution in all six cases and no duplicates, it'd be about $1,000 to get them all from opening them in packs.
The good thing about everybody hating them is that it'll be easy to get them.
Might be easier to get them.
People will be like, oh, you're stupid, I don't want them.
Now that's possible. but I want to keep talking about them before we make full opinions and such.
Sure. There's a little more that was still going on how to build the deck.
Go ahead.
You have to play
the lowest can be six, essentially, and it's one of each. Five?
One of each, and then one major arcana.
So pentacles, pentacle, swords, cups, wands, major arcana.
Yes. You have to have one of each.
One of each.
And then you can't have more than two from a same suit, and you can't have more than four major arcana. But you could play like one of each suit and then four major arcana, or like two pentacles, two wands, and then one of each, everything else. Mm-hmm. Now, I think, or, you know, typically most people are going to aim for playing five because controlling in the randomization, but.
Yeah. And part of it is just like, you know, some questions are, well, I'll back up before I say this. Pentacle is speed powers, swords is attack powers, cups is defense powers, wands is damage powers, and major arcana is whatever the fuck, I guess, kind of.
But they look pretty blanket.
Yeah. Everything is blanket, correct? So like if I, let's just talk about the Queen of Cups. I pull the Queen of Cups. All characters take a maximum of two damage from attacks.
Yeah, both players' teams.
All right, so let's go through this. So it's turn, let's say it's not turn one, because turn one's a skip turn, right? In HeroClix.
Generally, when I say turn one, I usually mean the first turn that people can do stuff.
Okay. So turn two. It's you're playing against me. You're the person who went first. Your turn two. Let's start it, back it up. Your turn one, your actual real person, turn one. So what happens here? What's happening with a card?
I'm gonna flip one card. And then
you flip one card
and then be done.
Okay. So you flip one card. All right. So let's just say you flipped when a character who can use psychic blast makes a range attack after resolution, deal one penetrating damage to each opposing character adjacent.
Yep.
Okay. So you flip that. Then I go. Do you flip a card or do I just I flip a card?
Just you. It's just the active player flips a card on their turn.
Okay, so now I flip Queen of Cups. Characters take a maximum of two damage from your attack.
Yep.
Okay, now your turn.
Then I would flip a card.
And let's say you do, when a character uses super senses, increase the result by a roll of one.
Yep.
So now if you attack me, I have super senses, and the character takes a maximum of two damage from attacks.
Correct.
Okay.
I do, see, I like the scenario you posed. Because that means the second player isn't just dying because they went second.
Yes, that's very true. And hypothetically, if you are playing, you know, non-themed, you know you're going second, you might be stacked with cups.
Yeah, well, you might play the two cups that you're allowed, and then there's going to be one that's tied to shape change. And we see one that says when a character rolls for an effect using a single D6, increase the result by one. So like there's a lot of things that can really help defensively.
Okay.
And I don't know what the shape change one is, but
that's right. The max is only two. So stacking a deck with defense powers is only two, really.
Right. It's safe to assume with what the super senses one is that that's what the shape change one is. I mean, obviously, it might not be. It might be something about like maybe when you miss, you don't get to attack anymore.
And the difference between super senses being increased by one shape change is massive. Yeah,
you are right about being able to stack defensive effects, though, because if you look, the Ace of Cups, the Queen of Cups, and the Queen of Wands, which we've seen, we see all that right here in this article. Then whatever the shape change one is, that's four of your, you would be at seven cards at that point that are all defensive effects.
Okay.
So that's over 50% chance to flip a defensive effect.
All right. So the article pointed out something that I think is very true for a lot of people. It creates randomization, right? And the randomization can be devastating in many ways. I don't know if they did anything that's hyper effective, but let's just say, for example, you go second. Okay. Now I have the card I flipped is Knight of Swords. So, you know, let me say it again. It's your turn. You're going first. I only flip, and you're against me. You have a way of dealing with my barrier, and I flipped when a character uses TK after resolutions, remove an action token from them. Then I don't know what you're going to flip, but you flip something aggressive, which is Seven of Swords, which is Psychic Blast, and after resolutions, deal one penetrating damage to each opposing character adjacent to a hit target. So you send out Blackheart, right? He does an energy explosion and now deals an additional penetrating damage.
He doesn't have pen psi, but I get your point.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. You're right. What's a character? There's a lot of characters that could do that.
Emperor Gladiator.
Sure. Emperor Gladiator. I'd love to do one that has energy explosion too, you know, just to make it really brutal. Which I'm is a lot
part of that.
What's that?
I can't think of someone who has both. I know they exist. Mimic Prime has both. Fuck it.
Sure. Okay. So Mimic Prime goes out there and just lights up your team. And then, you know, for Psychic Blast and then another three. So you've just dealt a lot of damage. Now you don't know that he's going to get that. So it's hard to necessarily prepare. Of course, you could know that he has energy explosion, although he didn't even pick that power before you went. So.
But you do know that that's in their deck, right? There's no way these won't be on a build sheet.
Really?
Well, you got to like people would cheat if they're not on the build sheet. I will switch it. Like people would switch out cards in their deck every time they had an opportunity.
So you're calling every person that listens to us a cheater, a filthy cheater,
including you and me.
Including you and me. Yeah, I cheat like that. No, I'm kidding. I wouldn't, but.
But anytime the opportunity is there, people will take it, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have to assume.
There's no way these won't be on build sheets. And we get to look at build sheets before the game. That's, you know, common knowledge. So we can see every card that's in their deck. I honestly, since we can see the cards that people play with, I wouldn't be surprised if we're allowed to look through our opponent's deck before we start.
Sure. That might be possible.
That's how I would rule it. Like if I was judging the event that had these, I would say, yeah, you can look through your opponent's deck before the beginning of the game.
Yes. So I think we have a fairly good understanding. We would both agree, I think, that it is very possible now based on random chance that you could be significantly hindered or significantly benefited, essentially.
Or have absolutely nothing at all matter. Both cards,
I suppose. The real thing is you could pull. I could pull on my first turn the Psychic Blast thing, and you could pull something devastating. And now I have something that doesn't help me at all, but you have a colossal advantage because I was unlucky.
Sure, but I mean it goes both ways, right?
It does, but only in HeroClix right now. It only has to go the one way once. Because HeroClix, everything hits like a fucking house. And yeah, it is so incredibly unrecoverable now. And if you don't believe me, then just simply stop playing Theme for a while and don't play Barrier.
Oh, no, I'm with you. But I think right now that role is decided on map role. So now that at least there's a second layer of randomization once you lose map.
Yes, there is. There is. So in many, if I had to make a complaint about HeroClix at this point in time, I have two. Number one, in this meta state, the meta state for me that is problematic is just the concept that winning map feels like just everything. If you don't believe me, there's a guy that George played at our tournament that agreed that whoever won high roll is probably going to win this game anyway. And then he decided just to go home and roll off with George for the finals.
Yep,
can't remember who that was.
Yep. Hey, You suck it. The roll off was statistically a higher chance because we didn't use his map bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a feeling you kind of sided with that. But the point being that it is so wildly important right now.
It really is.
And the thing that people hate is the fact that they could work really hard and then just lose map or whatever. And well, that's the game. And it becomes like a, you know, you're not even in turn one right now and you're down to like a 20% chance of winning. And it feels awful. It just feels absolutely awful. So now you're adding one singular more element to this. Now you could say that that happens to side more. You could also say that the game becomes more the opposite, meaning that if somebody's unlucky twice, it literally is over. Like you just kind of wipe from turn one.
I will say, at least from what we've seen, none of the cards look like they're so beneficial that it's going to just get you murdered.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that just in the super senses front, that could just blow it for you. I think that the, you know,
That won't get you killed. That's what I'm saying. Like, none of them look so offensive.
But and that could be the case.
We're only looking at a handful of these. There's what, 12 here out of 78?
And that could be the case. I flip over the Queen of Cups on my turn, and now I am significantly safe. Mm-hmm. If you flip over on your turn that you have to skip anyway, the Queen of Cups, that is a monster card to pull. And massively affects the game and essentially could flip it completely on its head because I've passed, which is my normal pass. And then I get something offensive and you get something offensive. I get something defensive. And now I don't know how you recover from that. Now it could play out, of course, that this creates a scenario in which there is more of that. The concern is that it creates more stories that are horrible. Does that make sense?
So before I can agree or disagree with that, I have to see all the cards.
Okay. So I understand what you're saying.
Because there is a potential for that to be an absolute fact. Like if say the Quake one is your Quake does 4 now or some shit. That's obviously really, really bad.
I think that we're underestimating the defense ones right now. No, Super Senses so, plus one and Queen of Cups. Queen of Cups, period. Queen of Cups, period, is really, really, really devastating.
But I think that's a good thing for the meta right now. The meta needs to slow the hell down because like I want to sit down and play and not have the game decided at the map roll.
I agree. So in that concept, that could be very, very good. It also could decide the game more on the map roll. I think the question is, are all of these going to be essentially defensive? And are all the offensive ones going to be essentially stupid?
Well, I mean, the Seven of Swords, the penetrating psychic blast one, that is really good. But at the same time, it's not like completely devastating.
It is.
I mean, if they
three have damage, three damage to if you do three damage to everything,
they have both.
What's if that?
They have, it's only if they have both.
Yes. Yeah. If they have both.
But if
it's you're right, we haven't seen the offensive offensive ones, quote unquote. There is none at this point in time.
Right. That's the maybe for me. If there are some that are egregiously bad offensively, I'll be much more inclined to agree with you. But with what we've seen, I just think that this makes games not be decided so fast.
That is possible. And if that is how it plays out, that can be a good thing. So now let's talk about battlefield conditions. I think people are seeing a more tempered response than they thought I would have for this. I want to talk about the time where did you play during battlefield conditions, PJ?
Nope.
So here's what happened with battlefield conditions. Most games like you're playing at your local venue almost across the board. I would say 90% of all places I saw, played, and heard from. And I was one of the lead writers of all meta stuff during this time. Almost all of them banned Battlefield Conditions. It was a universal ban. It was a universal turn its nose up on things. A lot of people would play feats, but no Battlefield Conditions. You would see that all the time. Or you would commonly see no feats, no Battlefield Conditions. You almost never saw a normal game in which they played both. It was so incredibly rare. And there was multiple reasons for this. One, Battlefield Conditions were viewed as challenging. They were too hard to figure out, too hard for people to remember, that kind of thing. Two, people had a story. Earthquake was a good example. I'll tell you my story from Earthquake, okay? My second tournament I ever played in. This was not a major tournament, just a second tournament, right? I drove all the way down to Lansing. I played a team that had, I think, like 7 or 8 Leanne Harpers. He went first. He played Earthquake. I had not played anything yet. I had not even gone first yet. Well, I played my Battlefield Edition, but I had Earthquake. He had Earthquake. He rolled first. This is all also completely not in the rules, just for reference, but understand that people didn't understand this. So he hit Earthquake. He dealt damage to my entire team, 3 damage. I had no reducers on my whole team. He scored, I think, 140 points before I had started my turn.
Huh.
Now, is that legal? No, because there's first turn immunity. But they had ruled at that home venue, because there's a million fucking rules in HeroClix, even in year 2 of HeroClix, that they're like, no, this doesn't target or something. So I guess it doesn't do immunity.
But even in a world where that wasn't first turn immunity, like say it was just your second turn.
It's a bad story.
Yeah.
And that's the point. The point is, I would be like, you know, if somebody be like, well, what do you think of Battlefield Nations? I'd be like, I fucking hate it. Because yeah. I had this story of the time that it fucked me so incredibly hard. So the most common Battlefield condition people would stock was Ordinary Day.
And a lot of times I played in one event that had Battlefield Conditions, and that was what I played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can only play it once, right? I've won 2 championships with Battlefield Conditions in play. I've won 2 world championships with Battlefield Conditions in play. And one of them, I had to fight against poor teamwork, meaning I had a lamp team, and somehow my opponent somehow had gone through 6 rounds of play and not played poor teamwork. And I had nothing left because you had to have a blank spot. I overcame that, but that should have been what killed me, and I should have lost to a Battlefield Condition. Nobody likes losing to a Battlefield Condition, ever. And honestly, not anybody really likes winning to Battlefield Conditions either. Nobody likes
that Earthquake, you wasn't too mad about it.
What's that?
I bet that guy that Earthquake, he wasn't too mad about it.
No, he felt like an absolute asshole, and he left feeling like a dick, because I was a new player that had managed to get to the finals that he beat before I started playing. That doesn't make anybody feel good. It makes them feel like an asshole, and he left feeling like an asshole. I've won games with, you know, structural integrity field. I felt like a dick. It's a way to win, but it's a shitty way to win. And because it's a shitty way to win, everybody stopped using them. And then we had this thing, competitive versus casual, right? And competitive players had to learn Battlefield Conditions and non-competitive didn't. So if they were viewed as a competitive thing, they just didn't go to WizKids events. It was very, very hard to drag people to these WizKids events, because they're like, I don't want to get the feats, get the Battlefield Conditions. I don't want to play with them. I don't want to be part of that. So it created this separatism. My point of this is, if I win a game using tarot cards, I hate it. And if I lose a game playing tarot cards, I really hate it. So what is the scenario in which I'm happy? The only scenario I can think of is, you're still there, right, PJ?
Yeah.
The only scenario that I can think of.
I don't have any input on that.
The only scenario that I can think of that I'm thrilled with tarot cards is if they don't matter much.
That's fair.
So then why is tarot cards a thing?
Because if they matter just enough, they might aid diversity, right? So like diversity was huge with possessors and power batteries because you had access to other benefits. So just like we've talked earlier, non-theme becomes more playable if there's enough defensive effects to justify going second, right? And that alone is good, right? I mean, we have, 12 cards? And I don't remember how many we spoiled before. So there's still a lot to go.
There's still a lot to go.
I'm reserving judgment until we see, at least 50%.
Well, first off, there's a podcast in which people are listening for you not to reserve judgment, motherfucker. Let's start with that.
I'm giving my initial takes, but I'm saying my mind could change if I see something else that's egregious, right?
What I'm seeing right now is, if I was to make a sweeping judgment based on what I saw, it's that defense is going to be bigger.
Which I'm good with.
I don't know, man.
I'm like one of the most aggressive players ever. I only build teams that have full map reach. And
well, that's because you have a figure on your team. Let me just pick out a random figure. Rookie Morph. Morph has full map reach somehow now and hits three times. Every fucking hero click hits full map reach. Basically, if you play Venom Magneto, any figure has full map reach.
I mean, that's fair. But
that's so fucked up. The 35-point character. I'm literally just going to select somebody random. All right. Gambit, 25 Gambit from X-Men, the animated series, running shot, stealth, 5-4. So he has a reach of 9. He gets TK'd with Magneto, and then Magneto does that. He has full map reach.
Yep, sure does.
That was a random figure that I just literally did on HC Realms, just picking it. Everyone has full map reach. I get that the idea could be that defense is good. I like the idea that games are more punchy and go longer. Here's the problem. Then can we start making games longer?
I agree with that. I would love for time to go up to, not by a lot, right? I'm not looking for
an hour. Round,
but right now they're 45 to 55? I would love for them to just be an hour, just exactly 1 hour.
I can see the diversity. I think 55 to an hour.
Oh, sure. 55 idea. To an hour and five.
I hate the idea that somebody's watching the exact clock and then.
Yeah, no, I'm good with hour being the middle point. Sure, but just give an extra 10 minutes.
I do think that we are at that point where we need an extra 10 minutes. Am I one of the slowest players in HeroClix history? Yes. Yes, I am.
We should accommodate that as well, right? Not everyone can play fast.
Yeah. Sometimes people can't read. Like, I'm going to have everybody read these cards to me because I obviously cannot read or write. So there's problems like that. I just think that we're adding another element to the game that changes how you're thinking about your turn. Now you can't pre-turn as much. People like Tyler, for example, who know their first turn setup, no longer definitely know their first turn setup. They know their probable turn setup, right?
Yeah, but so when you're planning your own turn, which you're never planning on your opponent's turn, really, because you have very little interaction. So you see their card, you know what's in your deck. So you can basically look at, it doesn't make planning harder, but it doesn't make it that difficult.
The problem is you're going to have to play an attack one, right? The problem is you're going to have to play. You have to play some. There is a whammy in all of your decks, probably.
Well, not necessarily, because everyone, it says it somewhere in here that there's each power slot and then there's a couple extra. Because I mean, the Queen of Cups, right? And the Knight or the Queen of Cups, and the Queen of Wands are both not tied to powers. So it's safe to assume the Queen and King in each suit isn't tied to a power and is more of a blanket effect. So, wasn't No, the all crit, the all misses or crit misses card was a major, wasn't it? I know that one got spoiled because everybody thought the world was ending when that.
Yeah.
I don't remember if that was a swords or not.
That's an example of a tarot card I don't give a fuck about.
Yeah. Like if that flips.
Yeah. If it was like all threes are 12s, who the fuck cares? Like that's such.
I could see one on like a blanket one affecting crit hits for attack. That would make sense. Sure. I can also see like
the devil after resolutions. The only thing I have with that is it's hard to remember. When a character attacks after resolutions, deal them one penetrating damage for each six in their finalized attack roll. Okay.
I think a lot of that stuff, we are going to have a lot of missed triggers, but we already have a shit ton of missed triggers. So.
Yes. So let's quickly go into that for a second. HeroClix is way too confusing. I don't think almost anybody disagrees with that. It is one of the most complex games in HeroClix in the history of games.
Simpler, Scott.
Why?
Because what kills me is when WizKids announced that they were going to make things simpler, people threw a shit fit. We don't want that. And then when they make these, like, then they say the game is too complicated. And then WizKids will make something that's simpler and they'll say it's too bland, but then they'll say the game is too complicated.
I 100% agree that there is no scenario that WizKids can make changes with people being overall happy. And I think that that can be somewhat true for anything. Like,
definitely.
The power changes. My recollection of the power changes is that for the first glance, we were like, what? And then the second glance, we kind of looked and said, okay, this is cool. And now that we're many years back, it's not many years back, but like a full year or so back of real competitive play from the rule changes. I think the real thing that we think is, man, I wish knockback damage was still a thing other than that.
That's pretty much it, right? Everyone.
Yeah, other than that, I don't have an inherent huge problem. What I have a huge problem with and a very big problem is they announced these rule changes and then the very next time they did rally die. That was such a colossal upsetting thing. First and foremost, nobody's really asking for rally die. Nobody was asking for battlefield conditions. I've heard no clamoring of battlefield conditions on a more instant, harder to play.
You have to remember these are not, you keep calling them battlefield conditions, but they are not at all battlefield conditions.
They do the exact same thing. They're what's the fucking difference?
Explain how a battlefield condition works then.
Beginning of your turn.
I'm playing in a golden age event right now.
Okay. So a battlefield condition is you have 3 to 4 battlefield conditions. You have one less than your amount of rounds. So if you have 3 rounds, you have 2 battlefield conditions. Essentially on the count of 3, 1, 2, 3, you show your battlefield condition. It's a surprise to both opponents. It happens at the same time. So you look at your team, you look at their team. And that's what it is. So you decide, are you going to pass yours? Are you going to blah, blah, blah? And then the battlefield condition is in effect the whole time.
So it's something that you choose and that it's in effect for the entire game with no randomness factor.
Yes. Which, by the way, if I was going to state the only things positive about battlefield conditions, it would be that it's an effect you choose and there's no randomness to it. Those are the things that I like about it.
Right. That's what makes it. That's what makes it. Like to people who don't like battlefield conditions, that's probably what makes it even more difficult to comprehend is you have to play
the strategy of it a little bit. What I found people had a problem with is just simply, oh yeah. Like you'd be like, all right, I'll carry you're midway through the game. You're so intensely focused. You got 10 things going on and they carry, you know, they hypersonic speed and carry their pog with them. And then you're like midway, they're like rolling into their turn and they've used their pog to reroll or something. And then you're like, wait, how did that pog get there? And they're like, I carried it. And they're like, fuck. Poor teamwork. And then you have to decide, do you go back because they cheated? Or do you what do you do? That kind of scenario was so incredibly common because it's going into the core basics of what HeroClix were. Now, do I see anything in here that is poor teamwork or earthquake? No, I don't. But do I see the devil? Every time you roll a 6, deal yourself 1 penetrating damage. Fuck you. That's so hard to remember. I think the
pool will be one that creates rollbacks, right? Because no effects of equipment. The fool, that one will create rollbacks because someone's going to forget that it's there. And,
mm-hmm. and it's big.
Yeah.
It can be huge. And now you have to figure it out. And that could be a couple minutes of you talking in a turn that's very long.
So I will say, when things like that happen, always get a judge involved and ask for an extension.
Yeah, that's great. But with home games, not home games, you know.
Nobody's timing a home game.
I meant with games where, you know, you're just playing. Most of the time, judges are players, you know. When I'm not talking about like a major tournament, but it just feels bad. That's really what it does. It feels bad. It's part of a thing that inherently makes people not understand the game even more. And it's one more thing to learn. Even if I can truly understand tarot cards, it's remembering in the moment while juggling one of the most complex games in the planet. Do you remember what I said to you was my goal when I played you in the top four?
No.
When I played you for the top four of my event, or our event, I'm sorry. My goal was I just wanted to remember Sentinel.
Yeah. And then you didn't.
And then I didn't. I said that to every one of my opponents and I never could remember it. I don't know what to do. Like,
dumb is the problem.
What's that?
I said, you can't fix dumb.
Yeah. But you could also stop leaning so hard against it. You know, like,
I'm just kidding.
You know, I'm just saying that, you know, I'm struggling, you know, you don't take a special needs kid. And when they're in the middle of a book, give them a much harder book. It's just mean. It's
what you guys are doing to me.
You got to challenge yourself.
I'm challenged already. I'm not over destroyer. Like we're sitting and being like, okay, how does it exactly work? And then trying to remember because it's another thing that interacts. Every single die roll right now, every single one, I need you to stop. Okay. So PJ, you roll the dice, right? I need us to have a stop for a full minute to say, okay, did you roll a 2, 1, 5, or 6? Because I need to put a rally die on. Okay, did you roll a 6? Because you need to take a damage from Devil. Is that your third hit? Because you need to be able to put out Brainiac. Is that your third hit? Because I need to be able to put out Sentinel. Is that your third miss because of this? Those are just off the top of my fucking head. Did you kill something in that turn? I need to roll for the incredibly, unbelievably, always forgotten fucking guy that's on a 5 or 6. I can't remember his name because I'm flustered in this fucking example.
Scroll Spy?
Yeah, Scroll Spy. I need to do that. That was one fucking roll. Oh, by the way, did I already have shape change? Did you let me roll that? Do I have super senses? Do I have a secondary power? Does your thing limit what the role of super senses is? Can I re-roll you? Can you re-roll you? This is a lot, man.
Right. So it's a lot before tarot. So yes. Adding in another thing is fine, right? If it's already too complex.
That makes sense, man. Perfect. That's a great idea. That, you know, your wife cheating on you, but it was with 12 dudes. So really, it doesn't matter.
Well, right. If she's
your brother was one of them.
You know it. If she's already cheating and you know it, what's it matter if it's 14 or 4?
The question is there going to be a breaking point, man? I'm very close. And I really enjoy HeroClix. I look forward to playing HeroClix. I'm not saying I'm quitting. I'm not saying it. I'm saying literally right now, I am having a breaking point of what I can physically do. And I play at what you might consider a professional level with a podcast as getting other people that play at the casual level to be like, wait, what's this happening? And stuff like that. It's a lot. It's a lot. And they're not giving us a break. It's not like, it's not like here's Rally for a long time. Just get used to Rally. Like Justice League. Yes, I am used to now. Was that my third hit? But it took a year or two.
Well, and you also have to remember we were hardly playing for the majority of those.
I mean, technically I played more than I ever did, but I get what you're saying. I would say that during the pandemic was the most amount I ever played.
See, for me, it was the opposite.
Like, yeah, I played online. I was able to play online, and I had never really embraced online before that because I didn't want to. I mean, it's flat out, it's a game I want to play with people, and it still is. But if I'm practicing, I online's great, right? Sure. So there's just so many interactions, so many things.
And to me, that's what I love. I love the interactions.
Because you're like a meta professional that spends 40% of his day. You can't even identify your son in a lineup of sons because you've never seen him. you just have him hold off a HeroClick in front of his face.
Full disclosure here, when I am home, I don't do anything with clicks except for these podcasts when you pull me away from my family. It's my HeroClick time is at work while I'm being paid.
Yeah, that's.
I have a desk job where I don't do shit all day. So
if anybody has a desk job in which they can devote 40 hours to HeroClix, great. Challenging. Can we just agree that it's challenging, man? Like, I get it.
I've said a million times that this is the hardest game ever.
And so we're fucking adding tarot cards, for God's sakes.
I just don't think they're that hard.
What's that?
I just don't think they're that difficult.
I just think they're one more thing.
It is definitely one more thing to remember, but I don't think I see any that are inherently complex.
All right. So, let's table tarot cards for a moment and talk about something a little bit more fun. And I think that we have gone through tarot cards. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners are like, I don't have to worry about tarot cards. I'm not playing them ever. Which I'm sure is what will happen for a lot of fucking people. And honestly, I said that about Silver Age. I really did. When Silver Age came out, I'm like, I don't care about Silver Age. I will never play a game of Silver Age unless it is some random fun thing. And here I am now working on a fucking Silver Age team because they forced my goddamn hand. But here we are. All right. So some cool stuff was released with Disney Plus. So let's talk a little bit about that. Yeah, I believe that we had seen everything that was anything but a rares are the only ones that we hadn't talked about, right?
I thought we talked about everything.
I mean, there was a few super rares or a few rares that hadn't been talked about or released, or is that not
true? We haven't talked about Miss Minutes yet. We haven't talked about Power Broker Prime. I don't think we talked about Heist Nebula.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about Heist Nebula either.
We didn't talk about John Walker, Captain America, but he can be skipped.
Yeah, he's a skip.
And then there's a few super rares we didn't talk about. And then a couple chases that we haven't talked about.
I want to go back and just say, I like Party Thor more than I even did when I first talked about him. I just want to say that out loud. I think Party Thor is an incredibly good figure and is maybe one of the best combat pieces in this set. Saying it out loud.
No, that's fair.
Pulse Wave is very, very rare, much rarer than I even kind of remembered when I was looking through it. The three range for it is not great. Him healing every turn is pretty great, or not every turn, but a lot of turns.
Sure.
And then him giving an action token for everything he Pulse Waves is really good.
And his invincible shape change.
Yeah, which is a weird combo, but yeah.
I like it. No, he's got a lot going for him. Like
he has a lot going for him.
12 attack top dial on a 50 point rare.
Yep, absolutely. So Agnes is one that we had talked about.
No, we have not talked. Wait, Agnes super rare. Yes, we talked about.
Agnes super rare.
We haven't talked about. I don't think we talked about Captain Carter Prime.
I have to go to Clix Nexus here. Shout out to Clix Nexus because it does not have all this stuff. I'm just like literally still skipping it.
You know, I don't like. the formatting of Clicks Nexus, like how it looks, just feels weird to me. But man, he is fucking quick on the uploads.
Yeah, he's quick on the uploads. I will say, if I had one small thing, just literally there's like, I think sometimes things are yellow and red. If you just change that to black, it would be amazing. Yep. It's just literally a small color change and it's suddenly the best site, period. All right. Mm-hmm. So Darkhold is an object that came out. Darkhold is not a lot of things, but it's 10 points and it's free. Choose a standard power from the following list: Prob, Perplex, Outwit. So it's equipable 10 point Prob.
Or Perplex or Outwit. I mean, I think the options are what make it really, really good.
Yep.
Especially with Reality Gem rotating out.
It will see play. Will it mm-hmm. see mass play? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, in the Chase Agnes, or Agatha, she gets to pick two of them, and she starts with it equipped, so not for nothing.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Agnes real quick then.
Agatha. I fucked that up. It's Agatha.
Agatha. Let's talk about Agatha Harkness. One, dope sculpt. Straight off the bat, dope sculpt. So good job. Sculpts are much better. That's a brilliant WizKids. Congratulations. We are in a new level of sculpts, and that's exciting. Okay, so she's 100 points. She starts the game with it. So you essentially get Perplex, Outwit, and Prob. Choose one of those you don't get. She has something that's just insane. I mean, one of the best powers in the history of HeroClix. These ruins, Wanda. These are ruins, Wanda. Power, generate a ruin special marker, max one. In her square, so not adjacent, but in her square. If Agatha is more than three squares from a rune marker, remove a rune marker. Other characters within three squares of her rune marker can't use powers. So let's just start with this. It is not opposing. It is others.
Yeah, it is friendly included.
It is friendly included.
But holy shit, that's such a good effect.
That is... I don't know. It's so hard. Is this going to be like just, I mean, step one, it's a Thanos killer, right?
Well, he has to be close to it, right? And it's a power to make it.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you can.
It's a Sky Tyrant killer. I'll say that.
Sure. Yeah.
He charges in, hits one time, and then can't leave.
Sure. Yeah. It protects your characters, kind of.
Well, I mean, it protects her at minimum. Yeah. Sky Tyrant cannot come in, hit her, and leave.
I mean, remember that you, I mean, the range is pretty solid. Remember, anything with Venom Magneto moves 12, essentially, right?
Sure. Yeah. But it's
and then, so you got a 15 range on that just from that. Right.
Yeah. But like with Thanos, he could just walk out and then free mind control. Like, I mean,
Can you pick the power? I assume you could pick the powers, you just can't use them, right?
Because it wouldn't shut off his trait. Like, he would still have that.
He would have the trait, but not the powers from the trait. So, like, he couldn't phase for free.
Correct, but he could just move. He could just walk out. Like, cost it, just get the fuck out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's some clever thing around this. It is... It's definitely the last action you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Or you just sidestep into it, like...
It feels like there's some kind of plasticity combo thing where you have them like locked down somehow from with plasticity and now they're just done.
Well, and there might just be some traits that interact really well with this. This is an effect I haven't studied too much yet.
Yeah, it's a really
traited interaction.
But we would agree, one, like in concept of effect, it is a 10 out of 10. Yeah. It is up there with like Thanos's mind control that you see out of everything. The difference is, this is much, much harder to pull off.
Yep. Like, and it's a really, yeah, like you said, it's a really freaking cool effect, though.
It's like, totally unique, 100% unique, and very, you know, very much the story, too. Like, very, very much the story. The fact that it just can't use powers, though. I mean, there's scenarios where it's just like, we always talk about the you know, turn one, turn two, but she's not dead. Okay. If she's not dead, you power action her. And suddenly their team just has no defense and you just cut through them like butter.
Yeah.
And that is,
but well, the problem also, though, don't forget, if you get within three and shut off their defense stuff, then if you try to charge in, you'll have to shoot in, right? Because if you come in, then you lose all your powers when you're trying
yeah,
to
punch. Yeah, I mean, position,
you're never within
three, it's positioning is possible.
Right. It gets weird, but I think it's just safer to say I'm going to shoot in, because she's like, she has good keywords.
Right? I mean, how fast is she? She does, but I don't know. She
actually has more reach than that, because she has that little bloop. She has the free placer in hindering.
Yeah, she seems long dialed too. 100 points, 8 clicks. It's not an easy kill.
With rollouts on every click.
Yeah, so, with a rollout on every click. It's not an easy kill. So then she has penetrating blast, steel energy, but with closer range. Then she also has stealth mind control free. If she occupies hindering terrain, place her in a square of hindering within 4 in line of fire. Oh, fuck. Why didn't we start with that? So she actually has a 19 range with that power.
Yeah, and also it's important to note something else.
With like, Magneto, Venom Magneto and that power. Sorry to clarify.
Something else that you can do if you go for a more long-term game plan, like you set it up, you can mind control people into it.
Oh, yeah.
He does have two target mind control with 7 range and improved targeting characters.
Okay, so like let's just walk this out here. So Venom Magneto TKs her 6, right? Then somebody carries up Venom Magneto, he TKs her another 6. So she's at square. She can hit. Was that square 22?
So if you start in 2 TK to 8, TK to 14. Place into 18, drop it in 18, it gets to 21. If you're on a 4x4, you can do full map.
Okay. Yeah. So that's very, very close. But she could also just range attack mind control, walk them over, and then Sky Tyrant finishes them or something.
Yeah. Like, I think she's just a really solid figure at 100.
And that's weird
to say that a 100 point figure is really good.
Yeah, there's almost no figures that are 100 points. She's not, you know, you ideally want a stop click for her or something like that, but I think it's probably wise that she doesn't.
And I will say, you know, part of like what you said earlier, she's going to look great on the map too, because the sculpt is fucking awesome. That's so
true, yeah. All right, so Red Wing is interesting. Red Wing is free once per game, generate a Red Wing bystander. Then free, remove a Red Wing light object held by this character from the game. If you do this turn, this character may activate the free action to generate Red Wing bystander regardless of the once per game restriction.
Yep.
Want to explain that, PJ?
So important note here, the bystander, when it is KO'd, you generate a Red Wing light object in the same square it last occupied.
Yes.
So if you equip this, so we'll just say you're playing a Falcon that comes with it.
But don't you not have it anymore, or you still have the equipment?
You would still have it, right? So
okay,
you would, once per game, be able to make the Red Wing, okay? Then when the Red Wing dies, you make this Red Wing special light object, but not the costed one, right? It is a Red Wing light object. It is not... It doesn't have a set number tied to it, so it's not a 10-point object. It is... Yes. Well, no, it has to be. Maybe? Okay, no. So hang on. Only the person who has this equipped will be able to remove a Red Wing light object held by this character from the game. So it's the person who has this equipped. So the Falcon, he makes the Red Wing. It goes out. It does its thing. And then when it's killed, he could then pick up the dead Red Wing and make a new one. That's what it is. I'm following now. That is complicated for what it is.
That is really complicated.
But also,
really, really complicated.
Kill your Red Wing bystander. They could also just pick up and break the light objects and say, fuck you.
Of course, that's always possible. But it's an infinite Red Wing, essentially, if you want.
Yeah, and
so what does Red Wing do? Red Wing gives out. Red Wing has outwit. So step one, it can outwit. That's a big deal. Why can a Red Wing outwit? I have no fucking clue. That makes no sense. Why a 10 point flying object is capable of outwitting a man. But okay. It has super senses. It has flight. It has hyper speed and it has precision strike and it has one damage.
And it's tiny.
I don't think I would necessarily equip this, but there might be some kind of weird scenario because it dies so easily. I'm trying to figure that out.
I like the object in concept.
Yeah.
If I'm playing a Falcon that starts with it, but I'm probably not paying 10 points for this. Like, I'm excited to have it on a Falcon. I would be like, it would contribute to why I would play a Falcon, but I'm never paying 10 points for this. I would just pay for the Darkhold and just pick Outwit if that's what I really wanted.
Yeah, very, very true. It's possible, though. It's not so bad that it's just a pass.
Oh, no. You know? It's not unplayable.
Unplayable. There's stuff and does have hyperspeed. It can fuck things up a little bit. It has, obviously, because it's a free character, it has tremendous range. You know, and you're not really worried about it. So for 65 points plus 5, you can get the Red Wing Falcon, super rare. He has charge, stealth, running shot, and only a Falcon occupies hindering terrain. And he is okay.
You can get it on the Chase Captain America as well.
Okay.
Who's actually good, which we haven't talked about him yet.
We have not talked about Chase Captain America. But Falcon is somebody we didn't review yet. And
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he's okay. So he's 70 points. But like in the grand scheme of 70 points, you're never considering him.
No.
Yeah.
He's just not quite there. And it's not that he's bad. He's just not quite.
All right.
I love him in sealed.
Love him in sealed. Okay. We got a 50 point and 100 point vision. This is a cool vision.
I think he's actually really solid.
I think he's possibly really solid.
I thought he was 30 points at low.
He's 50.
Look, see if I, are you sure? I know that's what it says on Clix Nexus, but I think he might actually be wrong.
Oh, if he's 30, then he's pretty good. But basically, what you have here is a character power. If no friendly characters in place this turn, choose an opposing character to attack vision or damage another friendly character. Place vision such that you make a close attack targeting the chosen character. Or if the opposing character damaged another friendly character, damaged another friendly character with a celebrity keyword. So again, not Vision himself. This trait is activated as a free. But if you're valuing at 50, that doesn't matter because that's never happening. Let's see. Does it say make close attack? The close attack thing is a little bit hard because at 100 points, he sucks at close attacking. He's a psychic blast piece. And then you're not really you need to almost break away right after. He has phasing teleport super senses. If friendly characters automatically break away from a character, the vision hit the stern. That's pretty cute. Then he has a stop click, stop shape change support, free KO vision. If you do heal a chosen, choose a friendly character, roll D6, heal the chosen character equal to that result. That's very cool. Basically, he is if I'm playing a celebrity theme for 50 points, I now have a retaliator. That retaliator is a charge quake. He is
50. I found the card. He is 50. Yeah.
I like hearing when you're wrong. It's my favorite. He is a outwitter charge quake piece. So he's retaliating for like 3 with a 10 attack. That's not amazing. It's certainly not broken. You're not like scared.
I actually like
him. And then he attacks again.
Yeah. I like him at 100.
I don't.
Retal, punch for 4 and then shoot for 4.
He doesn't retail unless you're playing a celebrity.
That's and Marvella. Like,
sorry, he doesn't retail unless they attacked a different celebrity than him.
Sure, but he has three.
You're playing a celebrity theme team, right?
Or Spidey fam, right? Like,
sure, yeah, that's fine.
But he has super senses, impervious shape change, top dial.
Well, no, because remember, they have to have celebrity keyword. Nobody gives celebrity keyword.
No, I know. But what I mean, though, is you have access to like Marvella, and then you have access to all of the celebrities in this set. Like him and Agnes play really, really well together. She makes him a 12-5 with Pensai.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yes.
And she's
the celebrities in concept could be a good team. If you're saying
I think this guy's pretty freaking neat. Like,
okay. I think he's pretty neat.
Defense is always good.
Please.
This is a piece I am likely to try in competitive play. I'm not going to say he's definitely going to work, but I think he has the right.
He's a piece I'm likely shoving into a celebrity team and seeing if that works.
Yeah, that's
all right. So we had avoided talking about the Tesseract because we didn't know what it did. We now do. Phasing teleport. When this character uses it, they can use prob control until your next turn. So all the Lokis that we were holding out hope for are garbage. This object is not great. It is possible that you would play it in certain scenarios, probably in a can't die, can't catch me scenario. is my theory. You know,
sure.
I mean, like, you know, maybe Sue Storm.
Yeah, the Invisible Woman team.
Yeah.
What's crazy to me is every object in this set is great in its own right, except for this one.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's 5 points for phasing.
Yeah. It's kind of cool with like Mobius, if there's some interaction there, like where he lets people free attack when they phase.
Yeah, that's true. I haven't really found the thing where, you know, if they use phasing teleport, it has to be free phasing teleport. The only person I know that can do that is Thanos, right?
In modern, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So we have a 75-point President Loki that he has a broken promise token, but this is a terrible thing. Leadership and shape change, when he uses either and succeeds, give him a broken promise. When Loki is hit by an opponent's attack, remove all of them. Boo. I mean, you can mastermind it. So it's not you can get away with this, but all it does is remove one and everybody within an opposing character within range, deal them one penetrating damage. And then you roll to see if you take a broken promise token away.
Yeah, not a fan.
No, this is a terrible figure. Which, by the way, the set is decent, but like I still don't think it's as good as you guys think it is. It's an interesting set. All right, we have a chased Captain America Falcon.
Yeah, I think okay. This piece is really good.
All right, so just period, he's going to start the game with Cap Shield, giving him Energy Shield. Does he already have Energy Shield?
But
Cap Shield is exactly what we said it was going to be, which is basically, and it gives you Energy Shield. If you already have it, it gives you plus one more to that Energy Shield. So he's a really... then he also has Red Wing. That's cool. That does help. He is 9 clicks. He's a 19 defense. He has close combat expert, 4 damage. He has force blast, hypersonic speed, stealth. Stealth and energy shield are never my favorite combo, but when Captain America uses hyper speed and hits with a close attack, after resolutions, he may place hit character adjacent to himself, then use force blast as free.
That is so good.
Okay, talk about why you like that so much.
So people played Ben Chung Nightcrawler, right? Same thing, but on steroids. Because not only do you go grab someone and bring them back, you also get to knock them 3 squares in the direction that you choose.
Yes. So that is pretty crazy. He is a grab figure. So he has a 125-point dial with a 19 defense and invincible. Avengers Initiative, only a 6 range, but 7 range would have done a lot more for him. But he also has a 50-point dial. That 50-point dial does not have the special power on its start. So I don't see using that 50-point dial.
No, probably three not. Clicks.
I just don't know what you're
getting. He has a 75, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. He also has defend willpower. When Jason, a friendly character, plays their defense with Captain America's, this character used toughness for that attack.
Handing out toughness is good.
Don't forget,
he has a 75-point dial that starts with ESD.
Oh, I apologize. He has
a 75-point dial. That's the click that matters.
I apologize. I did not see that. They usually don't have 3 clicks anymore. So yeah. 75-point dial... that is pretty solid. A 10 hyperspeed, 11 attack, leadership, 18. So he's a 21 with stealth from range. He can easily be one-shotted, though, like really, really easily. He has nothing that stops him from getting hit up close.
That's fair. But conveniently, he has that Avengers keyword.
Yep. So if you're really scared about that,
fuck out.
Yep. So he also has celebrity, which makes him a lot better. 2 targets. He has Avengers Initiative, which is a fantastic copy ability. Superman team. And
shield. Like he has 2 great wild cards.
And he has shield. I like him. I don't love him, but I like him. He's not like, oh my God, you know, you always compare to these characters that are just insane, like Blackheart and stuff like that. But here we are. Yeah. All right. So we never talked about the Spider-Man. the 50-point one that they released a long time ago.
Right.
How good is this piece?
He's really solid.
He's
the one that hands out wild card.
Yeah, he hands out wild card to characters that are essentially, if you're not on a theme team, if they don't have Avenger Scientist or Spider-Man, he hands out wild card. I haven't figured out what to do about that.
I don't think it's broken by any stretch of the imagination. I haven't found some crazy interaction with it, but it's just really
good. I mean, good. I don't love Thanos having stealth, but...
Yeah, but then you're playing Thanos with this Spider-Man and something with Batman family.
I don't...
Or Batman ally, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's not insane.
No. It's Thanos not. It does kind of pigeonhole Spider-Man. Your build, right? It does direct you into what you need or what you have to play.
That's an interesting team I've never considered. So Batman, Prime Batman, Thanos, Spider-Man. So
I think it loses to what Thanos already loses to.
What's that?
Like the modifier just makes you have a really bad time.
Yeah, but what do you? Yeah, sure. Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, it does just.
But what is?
I was thinking about what map you would play on that. You know, saying like, what is your map? Like, you can't put him on an open map, and you can't put Thanos on a closed one.
That is true.
Those are the kind of teams I love when it's just like both things seem bad for me, and I don't know what map to pick. But Spider-Man has Perplex. And when you use the target friendly character, they gain that thing. He has two stop clicks. And when another friendly character is KO'd, heal him one click on those stop clicks so he can get off those stop clicks. He has generate characters, but it is at the beginning of the turn. And that's a big deal.
But important note, his stop click, it doesn't say standard character. So if they kill your bystanders, he heals off those stop clicks.
Yes. Is he good inherently? He is precision strike three targets. So I believe you can
deal 2 damage.
He's 2 damage. Yes. So you can deal 3, correct? Or do you have
because you want to have a damage to assign to the.
You have to assign the damage first. Okay. He's a charge piece with triple target precision strike. The 2 damage is pretty bad. Like that is a hard thing to forgive in any 50-point piece.
Yeah, I think it's a fair trade-off for what he does.
He does a lot. So
at least he has precision strike to alienate the 2 damage.
Yes. So he gets Happy Hogan that can carry Spider-Man and bystander is generated by Spider-Man. Not limited necessarily to that particular Spider-Man, to my understanding.
An important note also, he does come with the
cloak of levitation.
Cloak, yeah.
So he has plasticity, sidestep, flight.
Yeah.
Actually, that is 55 points.
Yeah, he's 55.
Yeah. Probably put that on him. I don't know if it helps him all that much.
I think you're always putting, like, on the team you were talking about, it lets him carry Thanos around with
sidestep. Yeah, it lets him sidestep Thanos away. That's pretty
good. Seems fine to me.
And he can always run away. Runaway Thanos is about as hard to deal with as anything in HeroClix. He has Scott's Head, which gives Perplex shape change. He has he has Kurt, which is Outwit. Also a way to give double Perplex. That shouldn't exist.
Yeah.
50 points, double Perplex. I think it has.
This guy will be a good call-in in silver.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's the beginning of the turn, though.
Yeah, but like you can call in to give somebody wild card. Might be good. Let me rephrase.
That's not great. And you can't generate the bystander, so he's not attacking. It's basically just you're a wild card and I'm perplexed you once.
Well, he can charge precision and he gives your team super senses. So like remember, like if you're playing Spider-Man ID for the inspiration, like because you want to give your team
defensive super senses, Spider-Man, I could see that. I could see
defense. Because then if you have like a Wonder Woman TA, like you hand it out, then you give somebody a wild card so they can get Wonder Woman TA, it can get really neat. Like really fucking fancy.
Yeah, I don't think that there's anything else that we missed. Is there? Agatha was really the big one that was like worth talking about.
Yeah, if there was something Watcher. Did we talk about him?
Fuck you.
No, the super rare Watcher.
Oh, we did not.
I don't think
that's did. Right. Like we talked about.
Man, is this one of the most broken pieces ever made as printed?
Yeah, Watcher's very, very good.
He's broken. He's actually broken.
Which one is?
The Super Rare Watcher.
Super Rare Watcher. Okay. So you think right now they did, from my understanding, they declared that he does not bring them back on a new, they have to be on the same click, is my understanding.
Correct. So it's equal or lower points, right? So I have a 95 point Exodus on my team. Okay. Yes. I replace him with a 75 point Exodus. Okay.
Yes.
I turn him to click one. That is a 500 point line.
I'm sorry, why?
Because that's what you do with replacement rules. You put them on the same click number. So 95 point Exodus on click one goes into 75 point Exodus, who on click one is 500 points. But he's 75 for the replacement effect. Then you turn him to the matching click. So I will say outright, this will never work at any venue where anyone has a brain. And it will likely be addressed by WizKids at some point to not function like this. Yes. But if you have like a home game right before they clarify it, you can blow somebody away with it.
Sure. Nice.
But don't ever plan on that working at an actual event.
Like, so the real thing is this is like, so let's just take Thanos because he's a character people think about a lot. So you have Thanos and he's almost dead. And then you bring in a different Thanos essentially. So let's just take, you have Thanos and he's on like click eight or nine and you just say, fuck it. I'm just going to bring in this new Thanos because I didn't roll leadership well enough or I didn't roll something. And now you have the Thanos that's not necessarily as good, but has a stop click, has regeneration, can reduce penetrating damage, that kind of stuff. Will that see play?
I don't think people will play the Uatu unless there's a way to play him broken. That makes sense. He's one of those pieces that it's the same reason we banned Black Swan in Bronze Age. Nobody is playing her to play her fair.
Yeah, like 100%. And I guess very technically right now, you could do the Thanos that is the 160 Thanos Ultra Unique Chase.
Yeah, Black you could Panther. Go into the Ultra Chase, yeah.
And that would be good. He's very good.
Good enough.
Yeah, that's very good. You suddenly get screets. You're kind of like back in the game.
Well, because what I actually like about it is if you lose map and they have a modifier, now you can just go into the Ultra Chase Thanos and you probably play a better game than trying to play the 175 Thanos, right? Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, but maybe.
I think it's probably better. I mean, it's not great, but you do get him on top dial and he would start the game with his ego gem. Like,
yeah, he starts the game with the ego gem, still gets screed.
The bystander. Like, yeah. I think that you're just playing. I mean, it's not what you want to play, but it's better than being stuck.
Obvious suggestion is things like, you know, Vulture, going to Prime Vulture, that kind of thing. You know, if you're trying to fit somehow a guy that doesn't have the right keyword in, you can definitely do that with Watcher. You can
turn the 20 point enhancement flash into the 30 point, like JLU flash common. You can get a free 10 point upgrade. Not that he's good, but you could do it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. You could do some stuff like that. Certainly.
There's like weird little interactions.
Hey, wait, here's a weird one. Could you play Watcher, play the 30 point flash and the 20 point flash, and then swap it for another charge flash instead?
No, because you can't replace a character with itself.
Oh, it's the exact same figure. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It can't share a set number and stuff. That's why you couldn't do the Mirror Captain Kirk free attack and then replace him with another Mirror Captain Kirk.
Yes. Okay. So we have some questions.
There were three rares that we didn't talk about that might actually be worth discussing.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Hey, Miss Minutes is good.
Oh, yes. Miss Minutes. So PJ, quickly explain Miss Minutes.
So Miss Minutes has a stop click. She's tiny, 18 defense. She has a speed power that places her in a square within range and within range that is adjacent to blocking, not within line of fire. She has a stop click that's regen super senses. She has a full dial of prob senses, in cap, and that speed power.
Very annoying to kill.
Yeah. And for 35 points, six range, two targets. Then she has a trait. Free, choose an opposing character within range and line of fire. Gain a mission point for each other character on the map with the same name as the chosen character. So, not a super reliable mission point piece, but I think she needs banned in silver.
You think she should be banned in silver is what you're saying?
Yeah. I made a team that's, you know, Photon, her, and like eight Groots. And you pull over a Leslie Evans with Photon, and then you do that, gain eight mission points. And they have 3 turns to kill to get to your back line and kill them through all your Walking Woods and Groots.
And yeah, before, there you go.
Like, so I think that's probably a little...
I guess you could kind of do the same thing with Green Arrow.
Yeah, but it's more expensive and not quite as good. Like the Groots are just better than Green Arrow.
Sure, yeah, they are. And it's hard to argue with 20 points.
Any leadership and like...
And Leslie Evans is not... Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool.
It can be countered, like Lord Doom, filling your starting area, blah, 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 blah. So it's not this infallible, great team that's unbeatable, but it is non-engaging, and I think those are bad for the game. So I think
she... yes, it's supposed to be random, but the problem with all mission point things is it's not necessarily random.
But I actually like her in Modern, just as a figure, like as a supplement to mission point teams.
Yeah, I would play her on mission point team just because it might work out.
Yeah,
you might. Also, another thing is ID card in silver. You're like, I have a beast. I don't have a beast, but you have a beast. I'll call in my beast and mission point you.
Yep, gain a point. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that for each other character on the map, the same name. I guess that's not amazing.
No, I think she's neat. I think she's a well-designed figure. She's a lot of fun.
She is 12, 6 range, 2 targets, 12 attack, and in cap isn't bad. All right, yeah. Who else do we need to talk about?
Power Broker.
Broker.
Yep.
I don't say this very often, but I was interested in your thoughts on Power Broker. My immediate thoughts is this is not good enough. But
if Destroyer didn't exist, I would say she's good enough. But so she's worth a prime slot if you have no equipments, I guess, but I don't know. Like, she's really, really close. Like, I love her 50-50 willpower that then also gives it to all of your team as the game progresses. And she's not easy to kill because she has Mastermind, Willpower, Stealth, Shape Change.
Why is she 50-50 willpower again?
Because she has the Super Soldier Serum. She has willpower in her
defense. Yep. See it.
In the serum. So, yeah. Okay. So when she gives out that injection token, if she hits willpower on herself, she removes it from whoever she injected.
Yeah. So, it feels like it's so rare that a character has 2 tokens on it and can't attack anymore.
Sky Tyrant pretty much has that happen every game.
Or he's dead.
Turn 2, attack, and then sit there.
Yeah, that's fair.
So like playing her on a non-theme with him seems fine.
But honestly, I'd rather my Sky Terran equipped get hit 2 or 3 times and then me call it Destroyer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if in a world where Destroyer doesn't exist, I think she's meta. But I think right now, I wouldn't fault somebody for playing her, but I don't think she's quite there.
Yeah, I want to state for the record that I'm actually building right now with the idea of Destroyer. Just putting that out there. Like, I've been building all my teams with the idea because... while it's not always perfect, it is really good. Putting it out there. Yep.
I'm doing the opposite. I like primes. I like primes on pretty much every team I play.
I like primes too, but the difference is there's characters in HeroClix that do what primes do. Or something close to it, you know, with the exception of like, let's just say High Evolutionary and a couple figures, right?
Sure.
But there is nobody that does what Destroyer does. He's just an additional game element.
I don't fault anyone for playing him. He's absolutely insane. I don't know. To me, I almost start my teams with primes anymore. Like,
I'm going to own one, and now I'm starting my team with Destroyer as my prime.
We're still starting it with a prime.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's still starting with Destroyer, and then I'm like, all right, how many objects can I equip? You know, things like, you know, just for example, like Doom. Doom becomes a little more interesting to me because I start with a time platform, one way or the other. Like, swapping out things that leave me with objects in my starting area become a little bit more interesting because of Destroyer. Just more things equipped becomes interesting to me, basically.
Yeah, and we're getting a whole lot of people who start equipped.
We are getting a lot of people, although none of the stuff before all the major tournaments. So like there's two different worlds for me. There's the world the next month where I'm playing HeroClix a lot. And then there's the world in September where this new set is out. And so is Axe of Swords. And I'm figuring out all this.
We might even
We don't have a lot of time. So we are going to go through your questions. You guys had a lot of questions. We didn't get to post this too much for too long before we actually went. So here we go. Wesley and Summers, how are tarot cards not just Battlefield Conditions 2.0?
I think we've talked about this enough.
We have a little bit. Yeah, this he guided this a little bit, but I think they pretty much are. It's an easy comparison, right? They are Battlefield Conditions. But yeah. His point is that basically the drama needs to chill. These are not new. My point is basically like if they said, here's new ID cards, I think people would go in an uproar right now. And it's because we've had them before.
So I feel like it's Battlefield Conditions 2.0 and it's 2.0 because they made them worse.
I think they made them more challenging, but yes, there are certainly not as many broken ones. I'm hoping there is an ordinary day tarot card.
That says you can't, there needs to just be like a Saturn in since, you know, she's all about the tarot that says nobody can use tarot cards.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping like I put one and it cancels your tarot card. That's my hope. I'm hoping I can play six of them.
Isn't there a character named Tarot? He could do something like that.
Yeah. Why couldn't there just be, that would make me so happy is if I could just stack, it would solve everything for everybody. You know, I just have six tarot cards that
you just have all ordinary days. Yeah.
All ordinary days.
I don't know, we haven't seen any of the king cards. Maybe all of the kings are, maybe you have to play one major arcana and then four ordinary days.
Yes. So it's super, super random. What happened? Oh, my one fucking ordinary day.
My one fucking not ordinary day.
Hey, fucking at the wrong time. All right. And Andrew Fairfield wants to know, can you play IDs and tarot cards together? Yes. Yeah, we can. You can.
Yeah, for sure.
And it will happen in Silver Age.
Yeah. I think that tarot cards will get played until they are just literally forever. I mean,
it's Tyler Spees. Could Scott say something potentially positive about tarot cards? Could PJ say a potential negative? All right. Tarot cards could make it so going first is not as important. And in that sense, that would be a very good thing for the meta. PJ, your turn. Something negative about tarot cards.
Something negative. So tarot cards at its base level, adding in a ton of randomness to a game in which we try to limit the randomness can make people feel overwhelmed and not want to play. I do think this will drive people away from the game.
I do too. I think it will be like one of the biggest mass exoduses of anything they've ever done.
Well, I don't know. We're going through like 40 of those. If you look through every page, like
it does.
The people that kill me are the ones who say the scale change is what drove them away from the game. I'm like, fucking why? The figures are bigger. Who fucking cares?
That one's crazy. Yeah, that one doesn't make any sense. Like, they look better. Right, sorry. Anything that has shit to say about sculpts is wrong.
Right.
Somebody named Danielle Poole said, talk about potential decrease in terms in a time game due to decision-making pre-planning on opponents' turns being rendered null. Will Scott have three or more turns any ever again? First off, I have lost at least three or four times this year because I've not gotten to my third turn.
Yeah, I've lost like three or four times by getting tabled on turn 14. So...
yeah, I've never gotten to a turn. Well, no, I have.
I would say I'm pretty sure you and I got to a turn 14.
Yeah, I've gotten to a turn 14. I don't always play hyper slow. What me and PJ talked about earlier, of course, is just that we both think that this needs to come with an increase in time. I think Silver Age needs to come with an increase in time. I just straight think that HeroClix has to be a 60-minute game now. I still like the old rock rule, which was last round. Last round made everything so much more logical and better. It's so stupid that not only do you get to go first, you also get to go last. That's fucking crazy.
Yep. Agreed. I think it should be like innings, like you said.
It doesn't make any sense that what game can you name a fucking game where people get less turns the other turn?
Every card game.
Yeah, that might be true. Yeah, games end before that, but still,
come on, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh. So when they go to end of time sequence, it goes turn 0, 1, 2, 3, and then it's time or five, depending on what game you're on. But it doesn't matter who went first; it matters whose turn it is when time is called.
Yeah. I think that 100% they need, I think we bring back last round. I don't care that it takes people longer. Just have less rounds or something. I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah, I'm fine with last action if they just increase the clock a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine too. If I had anything, I would actually rather last round nowadays if I had to choose.
To Dan's question directly, I don't think that the decision-making pre-planning on opponent's turn being rendered null, I don't think that's actually going to be a thing.
I think disagree wholeheartedly.
All of your cards. So you know what's in your deck. So you can make your decisions based on what could flip from your deck. You know what's there.
Period. And you know what's there, but you can't make it. This is adding in, a tremendous amount of random chance.
What else are you doing on their turn? Besides sitting there, if you're not planning, that's on you.
Okay, so if they flip up Queen of Cups,
sure,
I'm probably not going to run Sky Tyrant out. I'm not saying I wouldn't.
But they're flipping.
If I have the option between I might quad barrier.
Dan's question is directly on your opponent's turn. Any pre-planning that you do would then be rendered null by the beginning of your turn. That is an incorrect statement because on their turn, you will be planning based on what card they flip.
So yes, but you have to play a defensive card. Essentially, you have to play a defensive card.
But that's why I'm saying directly to Dan.
Offensive card, you're probably going much higher if you're not. So yes, there's different things, but it's hard enough to come up with one plan, let alone splitting it into two. All right, Richard says, here's a weird one. What guesses do you have for what the Earthbound Neutralized Tarot card will do? That is a weird one. I'm guessing it will give them Earthbound Neutralize.
I'm guessing it'll...
Oh, because that doesn't work. There is no power of that anymore, right?
Yeah, the Earthbound's still a card or power.
Okay. Then wouldn't it be hard for it just give everybody that?
That's what I would think, that it would just give it to everyone or say you can't improve movement. I don't know.
Isn't that very close? So wait, does that make Giant small nowadays or no?
No.
Okay. Does it make it so Lockjaw can't carry?
No, that's not part of Earthbound anymore.
Okay. So what is Earthbound? All it does is say you can't fly, right?
It's you lose all improved movement and improved targeting and willpower, I think.
Okay. I would assume it does that. I don't understand your question, man.
I would assume it would go to everyone.
But you have a cool last name. Also, what are your thoughts on starter set Magic having flight and leap climb? I think that's dumb, and they sometimes do that stuff. And leap climb's dumb and shouldn't even be a power anymore.
So leap climb.
That gives you have to look that up as ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
I was making sure I wasn't missing something. So pretty much all it does is make sure that she has a less of a time getting tied up by plasticity.
Perfect.
That's it. That's it.
And just giving her phasing. Okay.
yeah, right. That would have done the exact same thing. But
all right. So Adam wants to know, how much will tarot cards cost in the secondary market? And do we think they'll be made of stiff material, flimsy material? I'll let you answer the second question first, BJ.
Stiff or flimsy? You love stiff, so I'm going to imagine it'll be flimsy. It depends on how big the cards are, right? Like if they're standard HeroClix size card, they'll probably be pretty firm. If they're bigger, they'll have to make them flimsy so they don't warp inside the booster.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're not the same size as the normal cards, but I'm guessing they probably will be, right? Because that's what they have and that's easy to make. So I'm assuming they'll be about the same as Legacy cards.
I bet they're going to be, I think they're going to be a full size card.
Okay, that would be nice.
Because I think they'll try to make it where you can use them as a tarot deck if you wanted to actually do tarot.
How much will this affect the secondary market? It depends on the distribution. Yeah, no problem. I think no matter what you say, though, even if they're one per pack, they're going, the big ones will be fucking expensive. I remember that the protected that was the Wolverine protected, which was a con exclusive kind of scenario, was going for $100 to $150 in its day for a feat. Because, and that was, you know, you could get it if you played in this event, but everybody needed one, sometimes two. And because everybody needs it on 100% of teams, doesn't matter really what you play. Hey, there's going to be cards like that. Because of that, I think they're going to be fucking expensive. And
I think the ones that tie to powers will be cheaper.
Because I think so too.
But I think the blanket ones and the major arcana will be more expensive.
Like Queen of Cups right now, I could see being very expensive.
Let's hope that those are the ones
that give
away for participation and shit.
That would be nice. Six of Wands, I could be very expensive. The Devil will probably be like $1. Page of Pentacles might be like, you know, $30-$40, because if you have a fucking stealth team, what the fuck are they doing?
Yep. For a turn.
For a turn. But, and then, you know, and realistically, the thing about it is, you know, what did you say? There's 5 cards per deck. Is that right?
Yeah.
What's interesting about this is because the game's so long, you'll probably never cycle through your deck.
I mean, I would like twice, but
I don't know. You wipe people faster than 12 turns, man.
I don't know. I've been playing slower teams lately.
Okay. Jack Smith wants to know, and this is our final question. PJ and me have to go. I like the idea of tarot cards, but how many times are we going to just lose, win a game we should not have just because you and your opponent turned over the screw you, I win card? And how is that going to be good or bad for the game? The answer is it's always bad based on exactly what you just said, which is how many times are we going to just lose or win a game we should not have because of this? Let's just isolate that statement before you go, PJ, before you go, motherfucker.
Suck it dry.
That's the big thing. So, PJ, let me just give you an example. Like, if I beat you with Egg of the Heartness, or I beat Jack Smith with Egg of Heartness, which has a crazy power which turns off all of your powers, right? Something that's never really been in HeroClix. I don't recall that power being in HeroClix. So if I somehow TK over, hit you, and then just destroy your whole team with like an energy explosion double that just kills you, and you have no ability to do a goddamn thing because of Agatha, you wouldn't tell me that you shouldn't have lost that game. But the difference is because tarot cards, because battlefield conditions are viewed as this outside element that's not part of the game, then it's going to be constant, because if they ever affect the game, essentially you'll feel screwed over.
I would say that only applies if you are choosing not to play them.
I think it applies if you feel like they're not part of what HeroClix is. It's a feeling thing. Right? If you feel like they're part of the game, if you've been sitting around being like,
there's no argument that they're part of the game. You can't, if you don't feel like they are, well, then you feel wrong because they are part of
the game. You can't feel wrong anymore, PJ. It's 2022.
I'll tell you not. If I will face,
I feel like you're a goddamn leprechaun. And my feelings are always correct. Now, the big thing is it's not part, really, it's like a side part of the game. It's this thing that will ebb and flow. Here's an example. Would they ever release tarot cards? And will we ever play a game of tarot cards that don't involve HeroClix?
That makes no sense at all.
It makes a little sense.
No, it does not.
You will play HeroClix without fucking tarot
cards. I'm going to win Worlds and make a figure that says we swap our sidelines onto the map and that's what we fight with. Shut the fuck up, Scott.
What's that? First off, sidelines are HeroClix, though. They're actual figures. You're playing a game of figures.
But now
you're
playing game of cards. Side, literally by definition.
It's the reason that people haven't minded equipments, but minded object, but minded feat cards. People hated feat cards, don't mind equipment as much. And the
reason, people hated resources. They were on the map. People hated the resources that were on the map.
Yeah, I will. But nobody felt like you shouldn't have won with them. It's different. Needed resources. Structural integrity field, for example. Structural integrity field was part of the map, but you hated it because it was so bad. I hate the batteries because they are just fucking awful.
Then you should have killed it.
What's that?
You should have killed the battery.
Shut up.
I'm just saying.
The battery was 7 points and 21 clicks.
Yeah, but they did some damage to it for you. Let's be real.
That's so nonsense. And the battery gets good at the end, too. So you gain
nothing. It does.
I mean, if you target the battery, you auto lose, you piece of crap. And you know that. You know what?
Against like the Lex Luthor matchups and stuff, you didn't have anything else to fucking target.
And Lex Luthor was also bad for the game. That was a terrible idea.
Now,
and now you can finally have him where now you can finally equip him with fucking, oh my God.
Yeah, he can just wear the fucking
cloak, and now he can't ever be pinned down unless you just happen to roll a six or happen to roll one multiple. He
still has to break away on a 50-50.
Plasticity. That gives you plasticity, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't help you break. It just means you can't get tied up.
Wait, I thought plasticity helped you break away. What?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I could be wrong.
I think you are wrong. Yeah, you only break away. You only miss breakaway on a one, unless they just change that. The new power thing didn't change anything, right? The new power.
Oh, that's right. No, the new plasticity got better. That's right. So he would break away even easier because you can't tie up plasticity with plasticity. It always breaks away on a one, or only fails on a one. That's right. It's the other way. Anyway, Jack's question.
No, this is the last question. So the question is now the secondary question is how often would you have won a game and then there's a screw over card and you lose it because of tarot cards?
I don't know that that'll happen. Like none of the cards we saw are going to be like, damn, I would have won if not for that.
How about this? If you're playing a Sky Tyrant team right now and versus another Sky Tyrant team and you go first and they go second, you're probably like, oh, I'm going to win this game because it's basically like Secret Six versus Secret Six. How about that? Secret Six versus Secret Six. And they pull over the queen, the queen of hearts or the queen of whatever that means only two damage to everything. Uh-huh. I think that definitely turns the game massively in your favor.
Because I just go quake their whole team twice for two, like I was going to do anyway. And then they die and I win.
I don't know, man. Like,
it does nothing. Sky Tyrant doesn't care about the Queen of Cups because he's going to quake for two
extra. Yeah, I guess I usually use the power gem, but okay, sure.
By the time these come out, we're going to be like balls deep.
It's true. What's interesting is it's like, you know, I guess it would hurt Gladiator. Like if it's a Gladiator matchup, maybe. I don't fucking know. I'm trying to figure it out. But right now the answer is we don't honestly know. It will happen some, though.
To his question, though, if there is a screw you, I win card, and it flips, it will not be good for the game. If there's any card that is that it just defines the end of the game. If it just happens to be one card that's particularly
triple good against, your mission points.
Yeah, some bullshit like that. Gain 20 mission points. Win the fucking game. That's obviously bad, but will never be considered good. But if it just happens to be like, man, I was playing all these one click figures. I knew they had the whatever of swords it is that does the pin splash. And then I clumped up and just let them shoot me. Man, I don't know. Then it's your own fucking fault. Get good.
I think the scariest part about this is that there's 72 of them. If there was five.
78 of them.
What's that?
There's 78, according to the article. 78
of them. Jesus Christ. All right. So there's 78 of them. The problem is the concern is HeroClix is notoriously not as good at testing things as other companies are. While there is some people that are good at testing things, they don't always listen. There's a lot of problems with that. And the concern is they'll run out of things. If Nine of Pentacles, which says you can use when a character uses sidestep, they can move three squares, was like one of the better cards, then I'd be like, okay, I guess this is just kind of funsy, you know, and there's just a bunch of stuff like that. Increase your range by one, you know, choose a character. They can see through hindering, you know, that kind of thing that mildly accepts the game, but they're not like that. Six of Wands, when a character uses probability control on attack, reroll, roll.
That card is a little deceiving because remember, like we're in an era of like all theme teams that gives your opponent the ability to single die prob as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that card actually probably sees a lot less play than what you would expect.
Sure. But that also could say I'm running a prob team. You come at me with your non-theme thinking that you're like, you know, you have a 13 attack. You know, you're Sky Tyrant and you're chancing it. You're chancing that you're going to be able to roll a five. But if I have two probs on you and they can single die reroll, you aren't hitting that.
I'm also biased on single die rerolls because I lost a world championship because somebody rolled back because Howard Brock rolled back to back tens against a single die prob.
I hear you.
Fuck single die prob.
You understand the probability.
Right. So there are teams that will be able to use this really well. But
the point is that those effects are massive. And they don't generally release the most massive effects on the first time they preview things.
This is the second time.
Sure it is. But they usually save some shit back, right? And if one of them gives Earthbound Neutralize, that can ruin your whole team. If you're a carry up team and you're carrying because of flight or whatever,
that doesn't done. It doesn't get rid of flight. I just told you that.
Wait, what does it get rid of again?
Improved movement and improved targeting. That's it.
Oh, okay. So you can still carry. Gotcha.
Yeah, you can still carry.
Okay, so that will never see play because that's bullshit.
I mean, we don't know what it does. I mean, it could give it, it could do something fucking weird. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a tough one. That's a really
everyone. So yes, there's some concern elements. How do I feel? Let's wrap up PJ with just how do we feel about tarot?
I'm still a little apprehensive, but I like it as a concept. I like the challenge of the team building. I like having more things to build with. I like the possibility that maybe some figures that were less playable might become more playable because of things like this. But I will immediately switch gears if something comes out to be just broken and would hope it would be addressed. I also just don't think these should be legal in silver.
And yes, I agree, which is super
weird. I would like to see time increased like we discussed earlier.
So everything that I discussed overall, here's the deal. Heroclix is confusing. I didn't ask for this. I definitely don't need it. If this was part of the fun sealed storyline that they were doing for Exoswords, I would honestly be thrilled about it. I think that's so fun. What a fun thing. It's cool. It's random. It's neat. But you're telling me it's part of Worlds. And now the World Championship is decided a little bit more by luck. And no matter how you do this,
come out and say that they're not legal for Worlds.
They could. So that means you need to be really up in arms about it now, which is not what I love to preach to people. But yeah, if you don't want tarot cards, tell WizKids you don't want tarot cards. If you don't want Silver Age to have ID cards, tell WizKids you don't want Silver Age ID cards. I swear to God, if like 10, 20 people actually mail them a letter, they'd probably change it.
If 10 people could make the decision for this game, oh my, I would not even want to be part of it.
Look, man, I just think I don't think that there's enough players where like if they receive a bunch of letters or something like that, they wouldn't be shocked. I think they'd be shocked. They're like,
what I think would be great is if they just did polls on their Facebook page.
That'd be neat. Remember the poll we did? It was well over 2-1. Don't want IDs in Silver Age.
That's because people are pussies.
No, they're not pussies. Here's a question. If 66% of people who play the game competitively have no interest in playing an element to the game,
hold on.
Why don't we just not do it? What's the value of doing it?
You have to keep in mind, you have to look at, man, I'm just about to fire some shots at people who listen to our podcast. A lot of the people who commented don't fucking play the game at all or competitively. So.
Sure. And I'm sure all of those people were only the people that hated on it.
No, it was, there were a lot of them that did. But like, I'm going to be honest, when we're talking about a competitive format, I don't give a fuck what the casual player has to say about it.
That's fine. But I have no,
you want at your own store, that's fine. But on a competitive format, just don't chime in just because you don't like it. If you have no intention of ever playing.
Here's the best format in Heroclix: team sealed. Second best format, sealed.
Agreed both ways.
Third best format is Battle Royales.
And then Team Constructed Highlander.
Team Constructed Highlander is pretty fun. I like Team Constructed Highlander quite a bit.
Yep.
The reason those are the top three for me is because they don't involve any of this bullshit. I get to play with the figures. I get to play with the cool figures and there's not anything broken. I don't like gotcha. I don't like the suddenly, well, I guess I can't do anything. Bullshit that happens sometimes with HeroClix. If somebody comes up with an Agnes team that's absurd, I'm going to be pretty upset. Because if I have a whole team that suddenly can't use any powers no matter what I do, the end, right? Like, I'm sure there's some scenario in which Agnes could literally, put you on an indoor map and like barrier your team or something like that. There's shit like this that could happen that's so upsetting, but it hasn't yet. It never happens with Sealed, essentially. And that's why Sealed is the best format. Will I try tarot cards? Yes. Would I be thrilled with it for small, and if it was fun and for fun things? Yes. Do I want it at Worlds? No, I do not want it at Worlds. I don't care what cards come out. I literally don't. I literally just don't want this extra thing at Worlds.
You're going to end up playing it and fucking loving it, and then you're never
going to... That's impossible. It's literally just impossible.
Well, that's because you have that attitude coming into it, right? You're not even giving it a chance. Like, you're just shitting on it when we see
12 cards. I'm just saying that I can't handle it. I'm just being honest. Like, I have a whole life and I do a whole bunch of things. It's too many things to remember, man. It's just too many things. It could be fun. If I play it for fun, I'm excited. But if I'm playing it for high level competition, we're getting farther and farther away. And it's mainly it's a weird game where it's not about money. It's about time. And how much time can you practice on something like this? And this is a lot of practice to be good with, to be able to understand what you do with each scenario.
Isn't that a good thing?
And you do have to learn all 78 cards.
No, you don't. It's because, like, if we look at cards that are tied to powers, right? We just have to know that my team has 4 pieces with pin size. So I want whatever the pin size card is.
That would be great, man. But like that, that's the one card that makes sense.
But all of them, I mean, there is a...
And that's still not a card that's great. I think the only card that I like in here is... I like one of these cards. Sidestep is 3 squares instead of 2. Because it's cool. It can help. It could get you more full map reach. But it's one small thing. There's a world in Page of Pentacles where I'm like, oh, okay. So I have Batman for my first team. You have a stealth team. And the end. I've lost this game.
Batman will be rotated, but I get your point, I guess.
Well, I mean, if you set up for a full Batman team, right? Isn't that a big fucking deal?
I mean,
that Page of Pentacles says Batman can't shoot through hindering. And now
are you complaining that you can't be tabled by the most?
No, I'm complaining that when I build a team, I have to now run it through 78 fucking cards, man.
Or you just play a good team and just accept.
That's not how it fucking works. Batman is a good team, man.
Batman will be rotated before these are ever legal.
Yes, sure.
But Batman is also one of the most broken and oppressive pieces ever created in HeroClix.
So take maximum of 2 damage from attacks. There's a fucking saber tooth right now that says whenever you get hit, you get to roll to heal. Is that saber tooth essentially invincible then?
You mean you just attack? You just attack something else.
Cool.
Right.
Like, but shit you have to know. And you're basically this whole, like, you just build a good team and you hope.
I want to come back to what you said, though, about time being more vital to being good than money. Isn't that a good thing? In what world is that bad?
I'm saying that money shouldn't be the factor either, but usually that's the biggest problem.
The people who dominate games in Magic and Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh play it hundreds of hours a month. Like,
yes, they do.
They're not good because they happen to be good. They're good because they invest the time, and that's how it should work. The people should be rewarded for the time they invest.
Yes, I'm not saying that hypothetically that can't. I'm just saying now the barrier of time entry is colossally different.
I don't think the barrier is different, but I think the gap becomes different.
Here's a fun fact. And you haven't had to deal with this too much, but I did play you a few times when you were just starting out. People don't like to get their ass handed to them. It's not a fun thing.
Oh, I got torn apart all the time.
What's that?
I got wrecked all the time.
You did. And yeah. People don't love that in games. If you get your family together for Monopoly and you whip your kid's ass like he's fucking late for school or some shit in this 1930s, like, Yeah, it's a problem, man. Like, it's not fun. It's not fucking fun. The number one reason people don't want to do Silver Age right now is they can't think of all the different things. They feel like they're just going to go in, get tricked. There's going to be some shit. Like what you just said, I didn't think of the Miss Minutes thing, man.
But that's why those things become public by the people who do think about them, right? That's one thing that's always been cool.
But you know what might happen is sometime, just once, PJ, there might be a world championship where you didn't think of it.
And those are what happened.
All of a sudden, somebody goes through. Because you know what happened? You know who did that? I did with structural integrity field. And but, I was the one who thought of that. And I told people about it and nothing fucking changed. And multiple one world championship and multiple games of huge origins were settled in 0-0, not ties, because that wasn't the rule. They were settled by 0-0. I built under and the game is over. And in a world championship, I play 8 fucking Groots in a missed minute and I've won the fucking game and I didn't attack you. That's the reason people are scared in Silver Age, man, because you can think of that stuff because you have the time. Don't we want people to come into this game and be able to play do okay if they spent some amount of time?
I mulled for like 30 hours to make that team. I thought of it in like 40 seconds. I'm like, yes. Oh man, if there's a bystander we can make, that would be sweet. It just pieced itself together. It was just really obvious.
That's obvious to you, Bobby Fischer.
But what does that have to do with time investment?
Because the other people can't think of that and they need to understand. What's that?
That's not my fault. Like,
no, it's not your fault, but you're asking now people to play Silver Age. And you're asking people to play Silver Age and have to think of every single thing to be able to build a team. You're just like, oh, just play 3 or 4 good teams. Like Magic, yeah, there's professional people that tell you, here are the fucking decks. And yes, maybe we should start doing that for HeroClix. Maybe that's a Critical Clicks thing now. Here's 5 Silver Age teams. If you're a casual player, here's 5 things you should know. Here's the 5 Silver Age teams. Go fucking play them. They're good.
Absolutely. Like, I've had so many people message me because they're getting ready for Rock Regionals. Hey, what should I play in Silver? And I pitch them like 4 or 5 ideas.
Awesome. Put it on the fucking board. That will help. That is something that you can do in Magic that does help. But people hate fucking gotchas and getting surprised by shit, man. And a lot of people, here's a fun fact, don't have every character memorized. So when you start a game, they're looking at your cards to be like, oh, Rocket does this. Oh, I didn't understand that Proteus works with Rocket. And you know what that feels? It feels bad for both people. I feel like shit. And I don't want to, I have to make this terrible choice. Do I explain it to him beforehand? You know, do I try to tell him every interaction beforehand and potentially basically be playing myself? Or do I just hand him the card but not explain the interactions? Do I just do this or do that? It's a terrible feeling. The whole thing is awful, man. And now you're adding one more interactive element to it that's challenging. I still haven't caught my breath from Destroyer. Or fucking the other things. So yeah, I don't want it in the game, man. And I don't care what it does because it does another thing. And it's a card. Cards aren't even HeroClix. Like
4 months.
What's that?
It doesn't come out for like 4 months. You'll have time to catch your breath on Destroyer.
Yeah, sure. That's fair. There is a like, point that I can.
Many months out.
I will hopefully know Destroyer by the time the shit comes out. Yes. And hopefully I will. Oh, but this will take a lot of practice and it's not going to be out very long before the world championship. So you have to assume it's going to be in the world championships.
If it comes out in June, it would be out for 3 months before the worlds?
They don't all come out together, do they? Or do they? Am I wrong in that?
I thought they
kept releasing through July and releasing.
There will be some according to what it said, but it doesn't say a count. So it really just depends.
All right. Fair enough. Well, PJ has to pick up his kid. It was nice. Your kid's awesome, but it was nice to have an episode where he wasn't screaming.
Yeah.
Just for the viewers. I think he's great.
That's an important note.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We appreciate all your questions. We appreciate everything. You know, ultimately, I think we both just want the best thing for this game. And I think that's the big argument is what it is. And ultimately, you know, we also don't have a choice really. Right.
Right.
Like, they're going to be coming out.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
It's gonna fucking happen.
But hopefully, if it does suck, they'll listen, right? But like, that's the hope that nothing will be broken.
I mean, they can't listen before they sell it, though.
No, what I mean, like, if there's a particular thing that's broken, right? They have been better on erratas on broken things.
100%. I cannot 100% been better at erratas with that. And for whatever it's worth, Wolverine only heals on a 5 or 6 when he's hit. 4, 5, or 6 heals too. Anyway, there is definitely, it feels like there's going to be some broken shit. Until then, this is Scott and PJ reminding you that if you're not playing competitively,
you might as well be playing with yourself. Good night.
Good night.
Critical Clicks. Critical Clicks. You've been listening to Critical Clicks. Critical Clicks. Critical Clicks. You should stop listening to Critical Clicks.
Because it's over. Yeah, you should go home.
Yeah,
it's a podcast. Just start it off, I guess.
And PJ, you're wrong about all of this. Everything you said here today.
No, I'm right.
You're 100% wrong.